For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Now, this is for all of us who are believers. The Holy Spirit has been given to you as a sign, as a guarantee of what Jesus did. Okay, so Paul's praying this. May you be given the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. First of all, laying hold of that hope that he's called us to. Secondly, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? We talked about that last week. We have an inheritance. I mean, we have an inheritance. It's not a new vet in the driveway. It's not a holiday home in the San Juan Islands. This is a real inheritance. This is something that the world can't even come close to. We have an inheritance in Christ. And then finally, what I'm going to speak on today, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? And I read that, and right away I'm rolling up my sleeves thinking, okay, power, Holy Spirit, yeah, power. And I quickly realized, okay, no, this is about specifically how much power God invested in our salvation. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might? I'm going to unpack the rest of this. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. I like that. He's just pausing and saying, we're not just talking about when we leave here. We're talking about this age right now. This is important right now in the life we're living, in the walk we have before us. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet. How many things? All things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What makes his power so immeasurable? Why did Paul just get off on this thing? I mean, he exercised power. What's the big deal here? So first and foremost, is the power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He demonstrated his power when he raised Christ from the dead. So many things happened at that very moment. In that moment, death was defeated. In that moment, death actually died. The day that Jesus came from the tomb, death died. And from our perspective, it just doesn't quite seem like it, you know, because, man, we still have death, right? But the important part of death, the huge part of death, the sting of death was taken care of. And for us humans, we think, well, that part where we go from life to death, because we don't know a lot about it, it's kind of huge on our radar, but the sting is just beyond that moment. The sting was just beyond that moment. That sting was dealt with. that sting that set up until that point that Jesus was raised from the dead, that the ordinance were written over us that said we had to die with no hope. With no hope. No hope to live again. No hope to be with God, the one who made us. No hope at all. The sentence was clearly written. Sin could thrive because the law that was put in place was still in effect, and that's what gave sin its power. That's what gave death its power, its authority. It was exactly that. Death had that final authority because by the law we fell short. But when, of course, Jesus died and rose, the sting of death was removed. That ordinance came down. The ordinance that was written against us was blotted out because Jesus fulfilled the requirement of the law. And the charge has been dropped. Now all those who believe in Christ are free. So what about death? When we die, is it like God just kind of loses us, maybe even just for a moment? No, not even a moment. Not even a moment. Not a brief second. Not an instant does God lose us. In that moment that we die, God has us. As believers, God has us secure. We can pass from life to death absolutely 100% secure in Him. That's power. That is power. Secondly, He seated Christ at the right hand. Now that is significant. That is significant. He seated Christ at the right hand. Not only do we have an advocate, not only do we have a champion who acts on our behalf, but God seated Him up, above, higher, at the very highest place He was given. He was given a seat at the right hand of God the Father. You've heard the term preeminence. That means superiority. Jesus Christ has preeminence. He is it. There is none above God. So when we worship, and you've heard it many, many times, but when we worship Jesus because He's preeminent. There is no other. There is no Buddha. There is whatever. There's none that comes close to Jesus Christ. He is the preeminent one. He's the supreme. He's the. He is our all in all. It informs this fact, this truth informs our worship. We don't worship angels or any created thing. We worship Jesus and Jesus alone, the one who is above all. Now let's understand what happened also when Christ ascended to God's right hand. You know, He didn't have to take us with Him. He didn't have to. But He did. He actually made a way and invited us to come with Him and be seated with Him. It's amazing. What power. In Ephesians 2, Paul kind of goes over our state before Christ did what He did. We were dead in our sin. We were dead. No hope, not one hope. We were dead. We followed after the course of this world. We followed after the prince of the power of the air, Satan. But before Christ came, Satan pretty much had the run of the place. And he was operating in authority that our failure afforded him. And Jesus wants us to understand the scope of what this means to be raised with him. I mean, this is better than any rags to riches story. We like those, right? You know, the rags to riches movies that some nobody gets, you know, becomes a prince or a princess. I mean, this is better than that. In our lowliest state, when we weren't even looking for Christ, when we weren't even interested, he died for us and poured out his salvation. What a gift that he gave. Because of his great love, he took us with him. Have you ever been to an event where there was a seat issue? You know, you got an invitation to some place, little miscalculation here, there's not enough seats, or you're over the intercom.
Those of you who will be traveling to Vancouver today, we just want you to know that we have a full airplane. In fact, our plane has been oversold.
We're going to be looking for somebody to give up their seat. Nobody likes that. Everybody's going, looking around, going, it's not like that. We are seated in heavenly places. And that's not, okay, you're saved, but you're not quite there. You won't be seated quite in heavenly places. We've got some lower level for you. No. If you are in Christ, you are seated in heavenly places. You've been given a seat in the company of Jesus Christ, in the company of God the Father. A seat. A seat. That's not standing room only. That's a seat. That says something. That's a place. You have a place in Christ. I don't know about you, but that's reassuring. That's reassuring to me. That's reassuring to you too. We have been invited to sit with him. Paul has made a connection for us. God has seated Christ at his right hand and in heavenly places, and God has raised us up with him and seated us with him in Christ. It was never God's plan to have us just be spectators, just watch the goings on. And I think, for me, that's a little daunting, because I go, Lord, I don't know what you've got planned here, but I don't know if I've got what it takes. And God says, no, you don't. Let me be what it takes. And that's what he wants to encourage us with. Don't be nervous about what God has in mind for you. Don't be concerned. Don't let anxiety get in there and say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't think I can do this. No, he wants to be that strength for us. Certainly this important truth has implications for our eternity. It clearly has implications for us today. In Ephesians 2:10 it says, for we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the third thing that is mentioned in that Ephesians 1 scripture is he has exalted him far above. Not only has he seated him at the right hand, but he has exalted him far above. And he's exercising his power in that position now. I mean, tomorrow I might be just very average. I might sin tomorrow. I might be downright not a good guy. I might fail in a few things. And yet the power of Christ is alive and working and sustaining me even when I fail. That same power that raised Christ from the dead has relegated Satan and his hordes to ultimate defeat and he's given us power to overcome. Colossians 2 verse 9 says, "For in him, Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you've been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority." Yeah, Satan is defeated, but we wage war against the enemy, and without God's help, we simply would not have a chance. We need to understand that too. I mean, it's not just pie in the sky. We're in a war. And so, yes, Jesus is at the right hand, but we are involved in a war. And we don't ever want to be naive to that. We earnestly pray, "Father, lead us not into temptation. Lord, deliver us. Deliver us from evil every day. Deliver us." Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, "Pray this way. Pray this way." Why? Because the evil awaits and will take its opportunity if it can. If the enemy has an opportunity, he will love to take it. So pray, "God, don't let me be tempted. Help me, deliver me from evil." Peter says, "Clothe yourselves with humility towards each other. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm." We're not quite there yet. We're not quite at that point where we're entering into that full inheritance. We're walking this through. The picture that I always think of in that context is his enemies are being made his footstool. That's what's happening in this day and age. Without Christ, where would we be? Even if Satan was defeated, if we did not have Christ, we would be toast. We would be. For humans, Satan is, and his hordes, they're spiritual beings. Our mere humanity wouldn't measure up. We need God. We need God, and by his power and his mercy, he sustains us and even causes us to be overcomers in him. Not that I want to gloat too much, but from Satan's point of view, what a humiliation. What a humiliation to have us, maybe I'll speak for myself, basket case, overcome Satan. How humiliating is that? I think that's part of the humiliation that Jesus is pleased that is happening. He's pleased. We're more than conquerors, that's right. He is pleased to have his church overcome. It brings glory to him. Romans 16:20 says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Okay. The fourth thing that we see in this is he put all things under his feet. He refers to that. All things. All things. What are all things? All. The world. The world's weather. Its disasters. Trump. Its governments. Everything. Every government, every Looney Tune that leads a country, everything is under God, under Christ. He has put everything, every disease, every cancer, every mental illness under his feet. Every enemy of God, every person that ever lived 8,000 years ago, 2 days ago, everything is under his feet. Every angel, every galaxy, every what? Every lie, yes. Yeah. All under the feet of Jesus. I like my odds in Christ. It's a sure thing. In Christ, you can take that one to the bank. Yes. You can bet on it. So to speak. Let's read that scripture one more time. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He is the one who fills. He is the only one that truly satisfies. So fifthly, this is my last point, he gave us Christ to be head over the body, his church. It's like choosing sides for a game of hockey. I'm sorry, that's another hockey story. It's me. But, you know, you choose up sides and you think, You kind of wonder about your odds. And then all of a sudden, Sidney Crosby comes to the rink and says, hey, can I play? Yeah, and he comes to my team. Maybe it's a poor analogy, but when Jesus comes to the game, you know who's going to win. You know who's going to win. I want Jesus on my team. And by the way, for this portion of eternity, when you are hauling around this flesh, he's also given us the Holy Spirit. Can't say enough about the work of the Holy Spirit. Just when you think you can see what he's doing 10 million things more than what we can even see. He's going to at a great extent to see this all happen. And to further this point of God giving Christ to be head over the body, he actually made us his body, which is another little important detail. He's clearly capable of doing everything, but yet he says, okay, church, come, be my body. I'd like to do some things. I'd like to do this all through you. He's chosen us to be his body, the God of the universe. Now we know why Paul's going, man, I pray for understanding, because if you mull on that thing too long, I mean, that's hard to grasp. It's hard to fathom. We are the body of Christ. Not everyone has been given salvation. We have been given salvation. We've also become a part of that body of Christ. Not everybody is a part of that body. Let me remind you that some of the things God has in mind for us. Remember that moment Jesus had with Peter when he asked the disciples, okay, Peter, who are they saying that I am? And everybody's going, the disciples are saying, well, some say you're this, some say you're that. Peter stands up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. And he had the revelation. He had the revelation. The thing we pray for, God, give us this more clearly. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus shares the vision with Peter and the rest of his disciples, and he says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So even then, he was saying, this is my plan. The church is my plan. It's not an afterthought with Christ. You are in the center of his plan. You are part of the church of Christ. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's a sermon all on its own. Let us contrast the statement with God's Genesis statement. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth and subdue it and have dominion over every living thing. That's what he said in Genesis 1. That was in the heart of God. Have dominion over all the earth. And now that is being restored. We're seeing his kingdom come. And he says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. It's not just a shiny new car he's giving us keys to, but rather he's given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and that is an authority that is given to all who proclaim the good news of Christ Jesus. You have authority to share that good news, and the kingdom is opened to someone else, and opened and opened and opened, and the kingdom goes forth. John Piper says, if God would not have wanted, if he would not have wanted to rule through us, he would have just skipped us. He really would have. He could have just skipped us. But he didn't. He's chosen to empower his church to rule and to reign with him forever. That process has already started in the hearts of those who believe in him. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You're going to have off days. But this is the truth. This is where we are. This is the hope that we have. It's the best hope. It's guaranteed. It's for sure. We can take this to eternity. Jesus is our Lord.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.